happy to welcome to the show from the Eastern Maine Development Corporation, where he is the Recovery and Reentry Workforce Specialist. We say hello to Doug Dunbar. Hi there, Doug.
Hello, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much. We've been trying to get together and get you on the show forever. I'm glad we finally made it happen.
Well, I was just telling Carrie that I have listened almost daily for 10 years, and most people know by now that it is a tremendous show. I mean, the guest list. I'm on a local program that had Ken Burns on a day or two ago, and Livingston Taylor is coming up next week. I heard him in concert when I was in college at Holy Cross College, and so to be on a program that has that kind of a guest list, this is high on my bucket list, I guess I would say.
Well, that's a high on ours to have you here, so we're glad to have you aboard this afternoon, and we want to talk to you about National Recovery Month, which continues throughout the month of September, and we want to talk about the work that EMDC is doing through Maine's Connecting with Opportunities initiative. But I think to kind of set that up, it's useful to hear your story because it's a pretty powerful and compelling one.
Well, I came to this work that I'm doing now in workforce development following time in jail and more than a year in the Penobscot County Adult Drug Treatment Court. And I had a 30-year career in government. I grew up in Bangor, was blessed with a great education, and so I got into government and politics. I was interested in trying to help people, and I thought that was a way I could do it. And I had a 30-year career. I worked as Congressman Baldacci's communications director when he was in the U.S. House of Representatives. I was a sort of press secretary in the governor's office. I was Maine's chief deputy secretary of state. And I tell you those things only because it all came to an end when my self-medicating with alcohol landed me in jail. But what it did was it caused me to make a lot of poor choices in life, and I ended up in jail for 4.5 months in 2017, coming up on 4 years ago. And it was the most eye-opening and transformative experience of my life. And not only has it put me on the road to recovery, coming up on 4 years in recovery, but it opened up doors that that I'm so fortunate to have had open. This job I have now at Eastern Maine Development Corporation, we created this Connecting with Opportunities initiative, and it is focused on the opioid crisis and people with other substance use disorders, helping them to get stability in their life and a sense of purpose through education, training, and employment. We have money and people who make that possible. So I tell my story because I want people to know that the thoughts we have about who is the person with a substance use disorder, who is the felon or someone who has a criminal record, may not be what we think. I tell people, I have a master's degree, I play the piano, I've had dinner at the White House. I'm also the face of mental illness, of substance use disorder, and I'm the face of a felon. I have two felonies now. So the story, I think, when people hear it, I hope that at least they understand that we don't always know who the person is who has had struggle. And so that's why the story, I hope, is important.
Well, and I hope too, and I appreciate you sharing that story, Doug, because I hope we're doing better. We're not there yet, but we do seem to understand somewhat better as a society how prevalent mental illness and substance use and abuse issues are. And as you said, you can't look at somebody and say, "Aha! Oh, that's right. That's a person," because people who are dealing with these struggles are everywhere. Every family deals with this, every occupation. And I think the more we remove the stigma, the better off we'll be in getting help for those people who haven't been able to find it yet.
Yeah, no question. And, I didn't speak up about my mental illnesses. I tell my story so much that I don't know what I've already shared. But growing up in Bangor, I grew up with mental illness. I suffered from obsessive compulsive disorder and anxiety disorder, and I told no one. I grew up in a very loving family. I have two very wonderful sisters and my parents. I couldn't tell anyone that I suffered from OCD and anxiety. And I just dealt with it every day of my life until September 11, 2001. 20 years ago, last Saturday, I was working on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and when the terrorist attacks occurred, my OCD and anxiety went completely out of control, and I began self-medicating the very next day. So, no, we can't recognize who the person is with mental illness or the person struggling with a substance use disorder. And I didn't speak up, as you say, because of stigma. We are doing better. But I do tell people, if you can share your story, if you've had these challenges in your life and you're comfortable sharing your story, do it, because we need to hear more about these issues so that they are normalized, so that we can talk about mental illness or substance use disorder the way we would talk about diabetes or asthma or any other condition. These are illnesses.
We're talking with Doug Dunbar here on Downtown. And you mentioned it. Could you talk a little bit more about what happens and the work that's done through Penobscot County's Adult Drug Treatment Court?
Sure, absolutely. It's one of the alternative sentencing approaches that we really need more of. There are only 6 adult treatment courts in Maine. Penobscot County, we're fortunate to have one. But if I had had this experience living in Oxford County, for example, I wouldn't have had this opportunity. So in my view, every county needs a treatment court. We also need mental health courts, in my view. They're happening in other places because we need to divert people from the criminal legal system into the help that they need. When I was in jail, my first thought was, who is helping these people? You know, I felt like if I finally stopped keeping secrets in my life, I could probably get the help that I needed, and I might well be all right. But I was surrounded in jail by people in their 20s and 30s who were clearly ill. That's why they ended up in jail. And if we don't divert people into programs like mental health courts or substance use disorder treatment courts, people just go in and out of that revolving door. I keep track of the list of people in Penobscot County Jail. Now, it's been 4 years since I was there, and I see the same names over and over and over again because they're not getting the help that they need.
Can you talk about the Connecting with Opportunities initiative and what that's doing for people?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Rich. Yeah, we created this Connecting with Opportunities initiative, Eastern Maine Development Corporation. We partnered with the Maine Department of Labor. We have a terrific Commissioner of Labor, Laura Fortman, and so we worked with the state to create this program focused primarily on the opioid crisis, which sadly is completely out of control right now because of the pandemic. And so we have money now from the federal government and wonderful staff who will help people to go to college, to take a short-term training program, if that will be helpful to them. We want people to get on their path to what they want to be doing in life and gain the stability and the sense of purpose and hope that comes from education and employment. So ultimately, our goal is to get people into meaningful employment, something that they want to be doing, something that will be meaningful to them, because it's so important to recovery. This is National Recovery Month. And after, I always say, after health and housing, the next thing that people need is, you know, a source of income and some purpose in life. And that's what we're trying to, you know, create for people or help them create for themselves.
So I want to ask you this, Doug. For those who are dealing with substance use disorder, is incarceration still solely about punishment and not rehabilitation?
Yeah, I'm afraid we've made a lot of progress in society, as you mentioned, and that's true. But it takes longer, I'm afraid, to filter down into our criminal legal system. Now, I call it that. I no longer call it the criminal justice system, as I did for my 30 years working in government. When I went to jail and saw the way we treat people and the fact that individuals just go through that revolving door in and out, in and out, I started calling it the criminal legal system because there's so little justice in the system for many parties, not just people who can commit crimes and don't get help, but there's, you know, I found that there's very little justice for a lot of victims of crime. So anyway, I call it the criminal legal system, and changes in society seem to take longer to filter into our jails and prisons and courtrooms. I will say that the state of Maine is doing better. Some of our counties are doing better, but there's so much work to be done. You know, when people end up in jail, if they are mistreated, if they're not getting help, they often get worse. There are 3 things we know about people with mental illness who end up in jail. These are studies that have been conducted. Their symptoms get worse. They stay in jail and prison longer than other people, and they're more often to be victimized while they are an inmate. So going to jail for people who have mental illnesses and substance use disorder can be not only unhelpful, but it can make the situation much worse.
Can we measure the damage that's been done to our society by mandatory drugs or prison and jail sentences for drug offenses?
Well, you know, I'm sure there are all kinds of studies, but we are coming to realize more and more that our systems and many of our laws have not been helpful. You know, the so-called war on drugs, there may have been many people well-intentioned when it was created, when it started 40, 50 years ago, but it has really been harmful. As I said, people end up in jails and prisons because they are ill. They're often poor as well, but they are almost always ill in one way or another. Mm. Mental health problems, substance use disorder issues, or the combination of two that we call co-occurring disorders. But that's why most of the people end up in jail, and we've been going about things so wrong. I tell people I have two great regrets. One, that I put people's lives in jeopardy by drinking and driving regularly, and two, that I didn't realize that our systems are badly broken and that we need to do things much differently if we want to get a better handle on crime, on, you know, safe communities, on healthier families. We've got to change many, many things.
So, Doug, what can people do to either help out those they know and love or to support the work being done by Eastern Maine Development Corporation?
Well, I benefited from getting involved with some great local organizations. My therapy was through Wellspring, and I know you had Suzanne Farley on about a week ago.
We did, indeed.
The director of Wellspring. She's terrific and has a great organization, and they provide tremendous counseling, services. I'm involved with the Together Place. You had Sean Faircloth on not too long ago as well. And the Together Place helps people who have substance use disorder issues in recovery or mental health challenges. It's a terrific organization. There are many, ways people can get involved. There is a growing sober living house community in the greater Bangor area called Fresh Start. Mm. So we need more sober, houses. We call them recovery residences. But there are many ways for people to get involved. And if your listeners know anyone who would like help with education, training, and employment, they can absolutely email me, if you don't mind me giving out my email address.
Not at all.
It is D Dunbar, that's D-D-U-N-B-A-R, D Dunbar, at emdc.org. And I would love to do whatever I can to help. Again, the Connect with Opportunities Initiative is focused on people in recovery, but we have other workforce development programs to help people who have had a variety of challenges in life or are just very low income and are looking for a helping hand so they can move forward in their career.
Well, Doug, I appreciate your willingness to share your story and the great work you're doing to help others. But I'm not going to let you go, because you've been teasing me with it for a couple of years now. I need to know your story about friend of our show, the wonderful Mike Farrell.
Well, and I hope it lives up to the hype. Well, when I was in college, I already mentioned that Livingston Taylor, who you'll have on next week, played a concert, and he was terrific. But Mike Farrell came and spoke. This was not long after MASH went off the air, and he came to actually speak primarily about his work around the world, humanitarian efforts, but he told us as college kids that we could ask him about MASH if we wanted to as well. Well, I had a college radio show, and I knew the kid who was driving Mike Farrell to the airport, and I said, you know, you'll never do this, but give Mike Farrell this note. It has my name on it and the name of my show, which was called Behind the Headlines, and it has my phone number on it. Please give it to Mike Farrell. And so the kid said he would, and I assumed he didn't. So that evening, I lived with three other kids in a suite, and every time the phone rang in our little apartment, everyone told me it's Mike Farrell. It's Mike Farrell for you, Doug. And of course, it wasn't Mike Farrell. And then at 5:30 the next morning, I'm not making this up, 5:30 the phone rang. One of my roommates, I don't know why, but got up and answered it, came to my bedroom and said, it's Mike Farrell. And I said, yeah. And he said, no, you got to get up. This is Mike Farrell. So I had a list of questions. It was Mike Farrell on the phone calling me. He was apologetic. He said, Doug, I'm so sorry. I would have called you last night, but something came up. I have to fly to Los Angeles right now, but I can either, I'll call you when I get there. He said, or I have a few minutes now. And I said, well, Mr. Farrell, I've got questions. I have this recording set up on my phone. Let's do it now. He couldn't have been nicer. And he actually called this college kid to talk on his program. And so it was a terrific conversation. I've thought so highly of him ever since, and I'm glad he's a friend of downtown.
Well, that's a great story, and it sounds like what we know of Mike Farrell too, because he could not be a nicer person. So I'm glad he's nice to everybody, but I'm not a bit surprised. Doug Dunbar from Eastern Maine Development Corporation. Been great talking with you, Doug. Thank you so much for visiting with us.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Hope we'll do it again. Doug Dunbar on Downtown.